Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps, and today joining me is Dr. Andrew Tunks. He is the Managing Director of Meteoric Resources. Lots of exciting news now. Write this one down, ladies and gentlemen. ASX code MEI. Dr. Tunks, welcome back to Small Caps. Great to see you. I know you're pretty excited about what we're going to talk about today.
Kerry, I am. It's been a wonderful month for the company. This is the second of our resource announcements in the last few weeks, and we feel we're making giant strides at the moment, so we are pretty excited.
You are now. I know how excited you are, and you want to get stuck into it. But for the listeners that don't know who Meteoric are, just give a very quick overview for me, and then let's get stuck into today's announcement.
So we're an Aussie listed junior exploration company with aspirations to make the transition from exploration to production. So we have two important gold projects, one in Brazil, in the state of Mato Grosso, in the southern part of the Amazon, called the Jirena Project. My Portuguese is terrible, so I don't pronounce that particularly well, but a really fantastic gold. And what we've realized is we've gone on gold and copper project. So that's really the discussion for today. 2 weeks ago, we announced a resource on our Palm Springs gold project, and that's in the Kimberley of Northern Australia, in Western Australia. So we've got a gold project in Australia and a gold project in Brazil. And because they're both in the Southern Hemisphere and they're both affected by the same wet season, right now is our golden time. You know, the rains have stopped. We can get on the ground easily. And so for the next 6 months, really, is our exploration activity window. Everything that I'm talking about today is work that's been done, but we've also got a lot of work that's kicking off and going right now on both projects. So it is an exciting time for us.
And I know you're jumping out of your skin about today's announcement. Let's talk about that. You've got gold deposits in Jirena, and you've made an announcement today. Let's get stuck into that, because I know this is potentially a big game changer, but it is Brazil, isn't it?
It is. So it's in Brazil, which obviously people would know has been a difficult place to work during the pandemic. And I haven't been there for nearly 18 months now myself. So it's been a challenge. I would like to say, firstly, that, you know, my Brazilian team is a fantastic team. I've got a bunch of three PhDs, I think, on the team, led by Marcelo Carvalho, and they're doing great work under really difficult circumstances. So what today's announcement is a resource update on the Jirena gold deposits. So there was a small resource there previously when we purchased the project, and we've grown that resource by about another 50%. So now globally, the global resource for the three projects is at about 387,000 ounces at a pretty healthy grade of 6.3. So that's the first part. What we're particularly excited and is a vindication of our exploration strategy is we recognise that these are a particular style of geological deposit called low sulfidation epithermals. And we chose one, Donna Maria, one of the three, to really focus on and see if we could follow that at depth and look for structural controls to see if we could grow this particular ore body. And really most of our work for the last 2 years has been concentrated at Donna Maria. And today's resource reflects that success. So the big change is, yes, we've had a great resource growth, but the really important thing is that we've converted a lot of the old resource with new data into the indicated category. So we've had I think it's 170% increase in indicated resources, which is a high confidence level. And so that now sits at just under 160,000 ounces at 17 grams, so half an ounce. So the grade, you know, that's a fantastic grade. The mineralization starts effectively from surface. We've modeled
it. Has that grade surprised you? Because I know we've spoken in the past and you said to me, Kez, The grade in Brazil is going to surprise a lot of people.
Well,
these grades are starting to become pretty interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't say surprised, because we've had some amazing intercepts over that time, and we do know, you know, like I think we 2 years ago we had one of the best intercepts announced on the ASX for the year. I think it was 25 metres at 95. I can't remember the exact number, but it was a cracking number. And we've had a lot of those. And so you expect a high grade, but the thing with high grade gold deposits is getting them to hang together.
Yeah.
You know, because of the nuggety nature of the gold mineralization. So we've converted a large core of Donna Maria now to the indicated resource. And that clearly shows the way forward for the other deposits, particularly Kerosene, which is another very high grade one. But we've only put two holes into Kerosene in the last 2 years. So that's been a landholder issue, which we're nearly on top of. So we would expect to get back there at some stage soon and do some more work. So we feel very vindicated in our exploration strategy, in that we've grown Donna Maria, but really we've grown the indicated portion. And that's crucial, because it's a high confidence resource, but it allows us to do economic studies and publish those studies to the ASX. The previous resource was virtually all inferred. And so you can never talk about that. You can't talk about the cost of production or anything else. You can't make a mine plan on inferred resources on the ASX. So this is that's where the big step is here.
Sorry to interrupt you again. Just for those that don't understand, just explain the difference. Sorry, I know we want to get on to
sure.
the numbers.
No.
Inferred and indicated, because you can't talk about inferred, but once it gets lifted up into indicated, you can. For those that don't understand, just
sure.
explain that.
So what we're referring to here is the JORC code, which we report our mineral resources against. And there are several. So first of all, there's resources, and then there's reserves. Today we're talking about resources, which is the initial estimation of grades and tons. And the lowest confidence category is called the inferred category. And then you step up into indicated, and then finally into measured. You cannot convert inferred ounces into a reserve. And a mining reserve is where you take your resource and put a mine plan around it.
Yeah.
So that's the stage that we're coming to now. You can take indicated and measured resources into reserve, but you can't take inferred resources into reserve, because there's just not enough confidence. And that reflects, you know, lack of knowledge of the metallurgy or drilling spacing or fundamentals about the geology. So our program has been to understand this better, to decrease the drill spacing. And so we've been really successful at that. And so now we've got a resource that we believe in, and I think we always have, but we've got enough information about it now to start planning production scenarios and
wow.
looking at various ways. Is it open pit? Is it underground? Is it a mix of both? Well, that's almost certainly the case. And so this resource will enable us to start modelling that.
And that's a very important step for a company like yourselves, isn't it? I mean, do you think that's what's going... This is going to be a game changer for the company, because you can get into that.
I think for the first time on both projects, both in Australia and in Brazil, there's a clear path, or there will be a clear path to production. You know, we've got to do that work now. We've got to look at the costings. What does it cost? You know, and how does the met work? And how best to take this forward? But in the absence of that indicated resource, that's impossible. So now this is the first step on the transition. Maybe not the first step, but it's an important step on the transition from exploration to production.
Well,
and
do you think
a big step for us?
Yeah, it's a massive step. But let me ask you this. I mean, Brazil, a lot of people, given the fact that COVID's around, a lot of people say, oh, it must be very difficult to work in Brazil. But I'd like to suggest that actually Brazil is a really good place to work. And your costs, what are your costs like in Brazil?
Our costs are not dissimilar to Australia in the long run. So staff are not, you know, there's not a big difference in staffing costs. It's maybe a bit cheaper, but there are additional holding costs. The project is remote. We only get to really work hard on it 6 months a year. So the cost structure is not that different. What I believe is great about Brazil, and where it's different than Australia, is that we have these enormous Archean and Proterozoic terrains in Brazil, which are still massively underexplored. You know, in Australia, most of the great ground, the top 20 to 30 metres, has been reasonably well explored now. I think there are opportunities. I think Halls Creek is one of those that hasn't been, you know, hugely explored. But the great Archean domains of Western Australia certainly are reasonably well explored. Whereas in Brazil, you know, we're on right out on the edge of what's possible. So I think that's great. I think that what I do really like about Brazil is some of the laws that they have around mining for small-scale production and for gold in particular that works, because gold, a high-grade gold deposit like what we've discovered in Jarena, is not a big operation. It's quite, because at half an ounce, right, you don't need to mine a lot of tons to get a substantial production. And the Brazilian mining laws are really set up around these smaller mines. And so we see that we'll be making application for what's called a GU. It's a limited mining license. But for a small gold operation that's at high grade, it's exactly the right scenario for us. So and as my Brazilian, you get great geos in Brazil as well. And as my Brazilian guys like to say, you know, we've had universities in Brazil longer than you've had a country in Australia. So, you know, so... We do love Brazil, and I really miss not being able to go, that's for sure.
But that hasn't impacted on what's going on, because as you just said before, you've got a great team over there, three PhDs, great geos, understanding what's going on over there, and they understand. But I want to figure, what I want to know is, you know, with the deposits that you've got over there, you've got more than one. It's quite a big land holding. Just give us a picture of what you're doing and the news flow going forward.
Yeah, so that is there's an important thing going on here. The high grade gold only. So we have two sorts of deposits here. We have these things that run north south up and down the map, and they are gold only deposits called low sulfidation epithermal. Doesn't matter what they're called, but they only have gold in them effectively.
Yeah.
But we have at right angles to that, so running across the map, we have these east west structures, which we've known for some time now, and we've estimated one of those. It's much lower grade in gold, called Crentes, in this estimate, but they are gold copper structures. Now, we didn't have enough information historically about the copper drilling or gold drilling that has copper in it that was never assayed for copper originally. So we were trying to get enough copper assays to put together a copper estimate for that as well, but we just don't have enough data. So that's on our to-do list, but we feel that as excited as we are about the gold, we feel that the copper gold is an amazing opportunity at Jarena. And people who follow the stock will know, late last year we believe that there's a spectrum between the gold deposits, the gold only deposits, and the copper deposit, gold copper deposits. And geologically, we see those being linked, and that's a well-known geological phenomena. And so we decided to explore for the copper gold as well. Late last year, we did an IP survey, which looks for sulfides in the rocks. It doesn't look for gold or copper. It looks for sulfides. But, of course, copper occurs as a sulfide mineral, and the gold occurs with sulfide minerals. So we discovered an enormous deep anomaly, and we started testing that early this year. So we've announced no results yet, because assays are very slow in South America at the moment. In fact, worldwide, because of COVID, assay turnaround time has really dropped. But we've seen some really nice textures in hole one, and we were pretty sure, you know, based on what we're seeing in hole one, that we're in a porphyry, a copper porphyry environment. We're seeing porphyritic rocks, we're seeing all the classic alteration styles, and we're seeing a lot of copper sulfides, albeit we don't have assays and we don't have a grade estimate for those. And just as we were getting to a very interesting part of hole one, unfortunately our drill rig, and it's quite deep, it's nearly 1,000 metres, our drill rig gave up the ghost and couldn't drill any deeper. So we elected to stop that hole with the idea that we'll come back with some better equipment shortly and we'll start hole two. And then the plan was, as soon as the gear arrives on site, we come back to hole one. Lo and behold, hole two looks fantastic. Geologically, again, I don't have any more information. I don't have any assays yet. But Hole 2 looks very exciting to me, and the staff on site are beside themselves. So our plan has changed once again, and this is where exploration, you have to be nimble, you know, and that's another thing that we've got. Because we trust the people over there, we're going with their decision. They want to push on with Hole 2 and not go back to Hole 1 in the interim. So we're very, you know, we're very excited about Hole 2. It hit something potentially quite a bit earlier than we expected. And we're still not quite at the target depth, but we've been through some really interesting looking material. I'll be trying to put an announcement together about that. Again, I don't have assays yet, so it's hard to say too much. But certainly in terms of the geological environment that we're looking for, this porphyry copper environment, we're seeing all the right indications. So that's something that we're going back to over immediately. So we're drilling in Brazil at the moment. We're drilling in Western Australia at the moment. And so our news flow will come from that. In fact, in both cases, assays are pending at the labs at the moment. Turnaround times are long. So I'm not sure exactly when we'll get those. But we do have, as I say, this is our golden window now to deliver exploration results.
Tuxi, I've got to interrupt you because I've actually haven't seen you quite so excited. I want to go back to Hole 2. Now, I know you can't say too much about
Kezo.
It, but you've been around for, I know. But ladies and gentlemen, see, I push. But he can't tell me everything. But I've known this guy for a while and I know he's excited. Tell me a little bit more about Hole 2. You know, you're a geologist by background. You love all this, but this particular hole, you're saying you're not going to go back to Hole 1 because Hole 2 is showing something quite exciting. Come on, what else can you tell me?
So porphyry copper are a classic deposit type. And so there's certain things that you want to see. And so they are, first of all, porphyritic rocks. Porphyritic rocks are late-stage intrusives that have a two-stage cooling process. Again, that's technical. But so we're seeing a lot of those. We're seeing a lot of what we would term magma mixing and mafic rocks and felsic rocks all mixed in together. We know that's exciting from a gold perspective. That's really where we see our best gold assays as well. So we're seeing a copper-rich environment. We're certainly seeing a lot of sulfide minerals. And then the other thing that porphyries are characterized by is what we would call high potassium alteration. So a lot of potassium being added to the rocks, that's really typical. And very hot, we're seeing high temperature alterations, and that's very typical of the porphyry. So we're seeing, if you were to write down a list of the classic ore deposit model for a porphyry copper, we're seeing all of those things. We're seeing molybdenum, we announced that in the first hole. We're seeing copper sulfides, we announced that in the first hole. We're seeing porphyritic rocks, we announced that in the first hole. We're seeing it all again in the second hole, except much better.
Wow. Okay.
Now that's a qualitative assessment. Qualitative assessment. It's not a quantitative assessment. I don't have assays.
Right.
So, you know, but we're seeing the right structures, the right geology. And so this is exploration. We don't know what's at the drill tip, you know. Yeah. So we are, we're a long way from any historic drilling now. We're way to the west of the gold deposits, like nearly a kilometre. And it really is opening up Jarena to a whole new thing. We're seeing stuff that looks very much like the Donna Maria gold stuff as well as the porphyry copper stuff.
Do you think this could open up a whole district of potentially a copper gold discoveries? And because it hasn't really been explored very much before. So you're right.
So this is, we're in an area called the Alta Floresta Belt. It's a Proterozoic in age. So this almost the second oldest age. Really, we're looking at about 1.8 billion years. We know at the other end of the belt, at the eastern end of the belt, Anglo Gold made, or Anglo American, I can never remember which one, made a porphyry discovery.
Yep.
Now, that was a copper only one, and it was quite low grade. We feel ours is copper and gold. We know that from assays that we've announced previously at Crentes and other areas. So the area has been known for its copper and gold. So, yes, we feel that this is a porphyry copper potential in this belt. And there's been one discovery made, but we're way at the western end of the belt, And so if there's one at the eastern and one at the western end of the belt, it absolutely opens the whole belt. And there's furious exploration activity in the Alta Floresta belt at the moment, despite COVID. The majors are in there and there's a lot of exploration going on. So, we're very grateful to not only be part of that story, but a leading part of that story. And I know in Brazil, our ASX results get read. I get so many emails in Portuguese that I have to send back to my guys to say, what is this? People in Brazil, the scientific community are watching to see what's going on.
Okay.
Yeah, cutting edge exploration.
Righto. So I don't think the market has recognized what you've got at the moment. What's your view on that, number one? And number two, because we're talking to an investor audience, why should investors be sitting up and really taking a good look? Because I know how excited you are about this, but tell me.
We've had a substantial, over a 500,000 increase, 500,000 ounce increase in our resource base in the last 2 weeks with the announcement of these two resources, one at Palm Springs, one here. So that underpins the whole, the value of the company going forward. We've gone from 200,000 ounces to over 750, I think. So, that's a huge step forward for us. And that gives people confidence and underpins what we're about. We know, and we're on record. Have a look at our drilling results from the last 2 years. We drill as good as anyone. We know how to explore. So and now we're about to take that into the next arena, which is potential production. So there's a lot going on. We feel that, as I said several times, this is the time. Exploration companies tend to go up when they're releasing good results. We are very confident that over the next few months, we'll be releasing some great results from drilling. So we think it's a great time to invest. We see the gold price as being pretty attractive, the copper price at record highs.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm a great believer in the change to renewable energy. Now, I think nuclear should be in that mix, but that's another whole story. But it doesn't matter because it all requires electricity, which requires copper.
Absolutely. Right?
That's the important part here is that we're moving to a very much more dependence on electricity. And so that requires copper to transmit that electricity. No matter how you generate it, that's what's needed. So the copper price is gangbusters. The gold price is fantastic. Governments are printing money like crazy. Get on board.
Yeah, it's a great time, and it's a great time to be looking at ASX code MEI, ladies and gentlemen, because they keep coming up with the results. And I've actually never seen Dr. Andrew Tunks quite so excited as I've seen him today. So there we go. Andrew Tunks, really appreciate you chatting to me. That resource increase from, what was it, from 200 to over 700,000, that's massive. Good news. Great drilling. You've still got Halls Creek as well. Lots of information flow from that as well. We appreciate you talking to us on Small Caps today.
Gary, it's always great to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Well, we'll look forward to the upcoming more results.
Absolutely.